coming to you from sunny Orlando, Florida. Welcome to the Paper Stack Podcast, where we cover current topics in the note industry, give you tactics for your note business, and talk with industry leaders to make you a better note investor. And now, your hosts, Brett Berkey and Rick Allen.
Hello, welcome back to the Paper Stack Podcast. I am Brett Berkey. This is Rick Allen. And today we are going in a different direction than we normally do. Normally, you know, we are talking about mortgage debt or maybe your first note or some tactic to take a house back or something like that. But today we're starting a new series where we're going into land and starting about land notes and why they're beneficial, why people might be interested in those, and just learning about who's in the space and, you know, who are the movers and shakers. And we have one today, John Jasniak.
Is that how you pronounce it? Jasniak?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
sorry.
It, man.
I stumbled all over it. So yeah, man, welcome.
Well, Rick, Brett, thank you so much for having me, man. The land space has been growing and blowing up, and a lot of people originating notes in the land space and trying to use your platform, and I'm loving it personally.
Awesome, awesome. You know, I'm excited to talk to you, learn a little bit about you. It seems like you're the mayor of a town or you own a town, and I don't talk to many people that actually own a whole town. So we can dive into that in a little bit and get the dirty details on how that happened. But tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your upbringing, where'd you come from? How'd you get into land notes? You know, what kind of brought you to where you are today?
Sure. Speaking of the town, that's where I'm at right now. As if watching on video, it's a little messy behind me.
But,
you know, I grew up in Michigan, been in Texas since I was 18, went to Texas Tech, traditional four-year route to school, came out as a petroleum engineer, was working oil and gas, drilling oil wells. Didn't particularly hate doing that, but I did hate going into the office. And like most of us, you know, wanted more freedom, didn't want to be stuck in a 9-to-5 forever. And so I kind of just slowly started to figure out basically how else I could get passive income. And one day on a podcast like this, when a guy comes on and starts talking about land investing, one thing they kept hammering was the path to passive income, right? Like selling on terms, creating notes, collecting monthly payments. And that really attracted me because I think at the time I had this glorious view of it that I could just collect payments and sit on my butt and not have to do anything. But that's since changed drastically. It's not, I don't run a completely passive business, although notes can be pretty passive. So I started investing in West Texas, bought some desert tracks, you know, buy for $8,000, sell for $16,000, $17,000, buy for $5,000, sell for $10,000, $15,000. And was just doing easy owner financings on contract for deeds. And it kind of snowballed into my first year. I was doing $13,000 a month in notes and passive income. I call them land notes, you know.
Yeah.
You call them paper, call them, you know, mortgage notes, whatever. In the land space, I personally like to call them land notes. And so I'm obsessed with notes receivable, creating land notes. And yeah, those small deals just kind of snowballed into a bigger operation where I think last year we originated about 4.5 million notes. I think in notes this year, I think will be about the same. So it's not a huge operation, but it's growing. And my goal is to kind of drive it to a $100 million land note portfolio.
Wow.
I mean, that's fantastic.
That's cool.
Did you start buying? I mean, are you buying with your own cash? Are you getting people to owner finance you the notes? What are you doing?
Yeah, so starting off, I rolled all my engineering capital. I was blessed to be coming out of school making like $125,000, $150,000 a year. So I was able to, you know, plow that money into some land and create some notes and grow it from there. Nowadays, I'm doing like these bigger subdivide projects. I'm obsessed with wraparounds, so buying with financing and then selling on financing on my side. I've been blessed to be able to sell some of those wrap notes and do creative financing and stuff like that. So right now I do use a lot of private money. I try to stay away from banks, honestly, but I do use a lot of private money and still quite a bit of my cash to grow the business. And yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's one of those things where I think a lot of people have that same idea of, okay, I'm gonna get into this passive business and start, you know, sitting on the beach, sipping margaritas and collecting direct deposits into my account. And I think they find, you know, the note space, it can be there, but also once you get into something like what you're doing, it's actually, it's a fun business to be in, but it's also the more you start doing it, the more opportunities pop up. It's interesting. You know, when you're, when you're in the middle of working on a business or you've got something, a project you're working on, you're just in the space, opportunities start showing themselves to you.
I can see that, yeah. How many years ago was that you guys started?
Yeah, good point. 2016, I'll never forget. Late 2016 was rolling through Catarina, Texas when I first heard Side Hustle Show, episode 108 with Nick Glober. That's Mark Podolsky, who's another big guy in the land space. But yeah, it's been over 7 years now, which is crazy.
Wow. Did you go get education somewhere, or how did you just figure it out on your own?
Yeah. So I bought Mark's course and the Land Academy's course, and now obviously you got several of us out there teaching in the land space, and with the internet nowadays, it's just kind of blown up with online education, especially in real estate. There's so much to learn, so many courses out there, so much information. It's almost like drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah.
At some points, you need to find a person who you resonate with and a subject that you resonate with, whether it be notes or multifamily or single family or whatever, and kind of just go deep instead of go wide is my advice on that.
Yeah, I like how you, like, with what some of the stuff you're teaching is, like, you're getting large tracks, and you're making them into, like, neighborhoods, which is different than some of the other stuff I've learned where it's, like, they're going for the onesie twosies, you know, an acre here, an acre there, and, you know, kind of stuff like that. It seems like you're going for, like, large tracks of land and then plotting it out and, you know, I mean, large tracks like an entire town.
I'm obsessed with subdividing right now because in a land business, I think that is the best way to scale. Now, subdividing land can be very complicated or very simple, and that comes down to state and county regulations, which is basically the main hurdle you're going to face getting into the subdivide industry, so to speak, whether you're having to entitle and do a bunch of crazy road and construction work, or if you can keep it simple and just run a surveyor out there. But yeah, to your point, there is, and this will be maybe a good transition, there's a lot of beginner investors coming into the land space. They see these super attractive returns where you could buy a piece for $5,000 and originate a note for $25,000 like overnight, and you got 5x your money and some cash flow coming in. And that space is starting to become pretty saturated, where your onesies, twosies, like, you know, one-off lots. And what people are trying to do then is go and sell that paper, which it is a marketable asset. But when you're dealing with some of these lots in the middle of nowhere, it's like, you know, no utilities, sometimes no access, and these notes are hitting the marketplace. And I think what's crazy about your platform is it's the first one, maybe, and it's almost like one of a kind right now, and it's kind of at the very beginning stages, because you got a lot of these investors trying to sell those notes, and it's like the Wild West, right? Like, you got investors coming in, oh, I can get, you know, this amount return, but it's a desert square and it's in the middle of nowhere. And so you got to be careful with that. Yeah, your returns can be higher, but your default rates are also going to be higher, because that's just pure rec land, as opposed to something like maybe I'm doing with the subdivides or some of the other folks are doing with these development projects. Okay, now we got power, we got water, we got roads, and it's a lot more marketable piece of land. So what you'll see is those notes obviously trade at a different value, or at least they should, than something that's more out in the middle of nowhere when it comes to land.
Yeah, that's so true. It was probably, I don't know, 8 months ago, I ended up talking to somebody who's doing a lot of business. They're buying a lot of tracks outside of Austin. And in San Antonio, okay. And they're doing just that. They're putting in the roads. They're subdividing it. They're making sure there's utilities there. They went as far as to, they had to go through a bunch of red tape to where they could start drilling and basically making their own water supply, and ended up getting it approved and turning around, and now they're able to actually sell the water to the tenants, and now there's other surrounding tracks who are like, hey, we need water. Can we come through and can we tap into your water supply? So it's a huge opportunity. I think naturally, I almost look at it like doing the one-off deal is kind of like somebody getting into real estate investing who starts in wholesaling. Mm-hmm. It's just a natural progression. They're like, okay, I can do a quick flip. I can make some money. I can build a bankroll. And it's really wide at the bottom, and the further up the pyramid you go, it just gets, there's less of that going on, and it just becomes, I feel there's more professionals doing it. Sounds like you guys are definitely at that sort of top of that pyramid where you're buying chunks, putting in the work, and you know, you do a little now, they trade for a lot more later.
It reminds me of that statement, the hard way is the easy way, the easy way is the hard way. Meaning, you know, the hard way is the easy way because you took the time to learn it to get up to that level, and then it's easy because there's not a lot of competition. The easy way where everyone's, you know, onesie twosies, it's harder because there's more competition. It's true.
Yeah, you can only bake a cake once, right?
With the onesies.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and with the onesies, twosies, what's crazy is a lot of those beginners, you know, they're starting with very little capital. Mm. And the need for them to sell a note is probably higher than the need for me to sell a note. Because if they could sell that note on their $20,000-$25,000, you know, recreational square that they originated that note on, that is a lot of capital where they can go and do another deal. Now that your platform provides that tool for them, which is awesome. But what I want people to keep in mind, and I get asked from, you know, students and colleagues and stuff all the time is, okay, how do you calculate a discount on a note? What do notes trade at? It's just, there's always going to be a difference in different asset classes. And for a beginner who wants to sell a Desert Square or something and go raise some money, man, even if you can give it to someone for a 25 or 30% yield and take a steeper discount on it, I'm all for it because you can raise the capital, you can go do another deal, and you're probably giving that asset to a happy investor who, you know, is floored and blown away by a higher interest rate that they're going to receive, as opposed to someone like me actually probably has less need to raise capital and go do more big projects. But my asset class is a lot more marketable. You know, I'm happy at giving an investor 15 to 20% yield on their money. So you got to learn how to calculate these discount rates. And my best advice is just play around. You got to play around with y'all software, and then you got to play around with a loan calculator. You should have a loan calculator app on your phone that can calculate all these different things.
Which one do you use? Do you use a 10BII or what's your go-to app, loan calculator?
I have this weird one that's in the app store. It has a green money sign on it. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it allows you to toggle different inputs and lock them. So basically what it's doing is like running a goal seek on the back end, and it allows you to then, you know, solve for interest rates, solve for principal, solve for monthly payment, whatever you want, whereas most loan apps don't have that.
Yeah.
And so it's some weird Asian name, developer of the app. So if you...
We use the 10BII, and it's exactly like that. You can type it in, and then... You know, once you've locked in, okay, this is my principal balance, my interest rate, number of payments, and then my my monthly payment, you can just say, okay, well, if I'm leaving three of these the same and I want to achieve a 14% yield, you just type 14 into your interest rate column, and then you'd hit the principal balance, and it says, okay, boom, this is what this investor is going to have to pay for this to get the 14, and that's huge. I think something that's going to be a big benefit in helping people do exactly what you were just talking about is a piece of code and a piece of AI that we just implemented into our platform. And it's the PaperStack Price Predictor.
Oh, yeah.
And it is basically takes like-kind assets, compares prior sales on the platform, and, you know, kind of generates a, hey, this is what this should trade for. We're still working on it for the land side because of some of the inputs that we bring in, but it's something that's on the just the single family resi, it's been pretty accurate. We're within, you know, 3-5% accuracy on, hey, it's going to sell for this much, which is pretty phenomenal. Kind of like a Zestimate, but for the note space. I got a question. What kind of, like, what would you say if you had to say you had a cookie cutter kind of deal? This is what you're looking for. Like, are you looking for 300 acres? Are you looking for 100 acres? You have a minimum buy size that you're looking at?
Yeah, all good questions. Real quick, I just wanted to touch on that tool. Sounds awesome because I've literally been quoted out on notes before. Like, someone will give me $100,000 for a note, and another person will give me $60,000 or $70,000 for a note. So, like, it's literally still like the Wild West, and people to figure out what it should be trading at is pretty difficult sometimes. It can vary a lot. Personally, right now, yeah, I'm looking for bigger projects. It's usually 50 acres plus that can be subdivided. It's got to be outside of city limits, though. I love working outside of city limits because you don't have to do all the crazy entitling and get city council or any of that sort of approval. So outside of city limits is really, really good. Larger pieces where you can buy in bulk and then turn around and subdivide and sell them off for 3, 4, 5x what you bought them for.
Wow.
That's good. Do you, so 50 acre minimums, do you have like do not buy areas? You're like, yeah, we can't buy there just because, I'm sure you do. There's like, yeah, the subdividing is, it's either non-existent or it's a nightmare, or maybe they have like minimum, hey, yeah, you can subdivide, but it's a minimum of a 5 acre track.
Yeah, and well, most state regs, not most, but a lot of state regs are seem to be at like the 5 to 10, especially 10-ish acre exemption. If you're above that and hit a couple other things, you'll be exempt. One area I definitely stay away from is California. I meet people who are trying to get plats done in California, and it's just, it's so highly regulated. You know, they want to know what's going on with the soil. Is there any crazy animal or habitat that's going to be affected? Are the fish going to be affected downstream? And so it can become really challenging to subdivide in places like that.
That's
strange. A good example, like Liberty County, Texas, where they have like, yeah, it is. And like Liberty County, Texas has like a 270-page subdivision PDF where you have to hit all their things. So if I'm ever subdividing in Liberty County, it's probably going to be a plat exempt 10 plus acre situation in Texas, because I would never try to battle them on, okay, I need to do a paved road, I need to have all the inspectors out there, I need to have the compaction test of the paved road, the subgrade needs to be set up right, I need to do all the water testing and send it off to a special lab and hit all the metrics. So you gotta know all these things before you just go out and buy a project. But if you, my thing is like always drill down real deep on maybe a few counties or a select area or a select state. Mm-hmm. And then boom, once you get to know these regulations on the land side, like the back of your hand, which doesn't take that long, then you can just do all these deals and they start to appear in those areas. A lot of beginners do this shotgun approach where they send out direct mail or they're calling up landowners in California and Virginia and Texas. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, they live in Florida. It's like, that's one way to run the business and you can do it that way. But if you want a lot of tire spinning and just going back and forth and time wasting, like huge learning curve, that's what you, I would recommend do that. If you want to keep it simple and make a bunch of money, go deep on one area, stay focused and learn the regulations and find a killer deal in that area.
What's your favorite state? What state you're just like, man, I love buying in this state?
Texas? For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Are you in Texas?
Texas. I'll be Texas. 90. You know, I'm in Texas. I own the town in Texas. I went to school in Texas. 99% of my stuff takes place in Texas. But I work. What's crazy is I work and teach and partner and stuff with people all over the country. You know, whether it's Virginia, Florida, Colorado, Michigan, mm-hmm. Oregon. Like literally, this land game can be done anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's California on the do not buy states. I just find it so hard to believe that California is difficult. It's just crazy to think that.
So tell us about the town. Like I saw the video. I was like, what the? You bought a town? That's crazy. How did that even happen? Like what's it called?
Yeah. It's called Cornutus, Texas. It's about an hour east of El Paso on Highway 62, 180, as you're heading out towards Guadalupe Mountain National Park, which is about 30 miles to the east of me. So it's kind of in the middle of the desert. It's 28 acres, and on it we got a motel and convenience store, a 6-bed motel, a 6-spot RV park, 3 mobile homes, a bunch of equipment like a gas tank and pump. You know, water tank, there's a well out here. The water out here is like the craziest situation. It's a 900-foot well that does 2 gallons per minute into my storage tank that kind of gets held and feeds everything, the motel, the RV park, the mobile homes. Not a lot of water out here. Mm-mm-mm. It's very deep. But yeah, it's been a fun, crazy project. Bought it in January of 23. In the last year, basically, now we've been out here putting it back together, renovating it, because it was not in great shape when I bought it. But we are almost ready to go. Today is painting in the kitchen. When I get off with you guys, we'll be in there painting and finishing the ceiling and the FRP on the walls.
How did you find that? I mean, what happened there? We were just like, and then what's the goals for that? What's the ultimate goal for after the fact?
Yeah, so basically, I found it on Facebook. My first deal that I ever did was in Hudspeth County, Texas, and I love land out here. I'm fascinated by the West Texas desert. I don't know why. And so it would have been early 2022. someone sends me this Facebook listing, and I had like 1,000 shares or something. It was like, buy your own town in Texas, and it was the sale post on it.
I
was like, okay, I've been through there plenty of times, and you know, I'm interested, but I was like, how am I going to actually manage this, considering I live in Dallas-Fort Worth, and this is an 8.5 hour drive away, and there's like 500 people in the 20-mile radius to come work and do stuff for me. And so it kind of lingered and kept going on in 2022, and I kept seeing it, and they were price dropping it, and I was like, no one's bought this thing yet. And so December 2022, I come out and tour the property with my dad. Just did a day trip out here, like 8 hours there, toured it, 8 hours back. It was
good
a crazy
Lord.
Day. Almost kind of got shot by the previous owner in the process, and captive to his truck when he was giving us our tour. And there was just a lot of crazy things going on with the property. And he was like, you want it? You can buy it sight unseen. And it was the craziest transaction in real estate process I've ever done. But we ended up getting it closed in January of 23. And I was like, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go forward with it. It's going to be a great branding play for me. Obviously, you guys have seen the videos on it.
Yeah.
A lot of people, those videos have gotten millions of views. So it's been getting a lot of attention, that's for sure.
It's definitely interesting.
My goals, though.
go ahead.
Yeah. And my goal with the property is to kind of, I want to hold this forever, sort of. Type deal, and it's a cash flowing property, so I want to make it like a tourist destination and kind of a spot in the desert where people come out, they can stay in short term rentals, they can eat at the cafe, passerbys and pass through people can, you know, get gas and food and burgers and stuff like that. So it's got a ceiling to it for sure, but it can be, you know, it can be a really good cash flowing cool little spot in the middle of the desert.
That sounds cool. That sounds really, really neat. When I saw the video, I just couldn't believe it. Bought a town. That's unique, you know.
I'm there, unofficially.
You got to get the Cadillac with the horns on it, like Boss Hog. Like some slipping.
Well, the goal was to get a cool F-250 and get you know, kind of a work truck and outfit it with some mayor's, you know, cool stuff on it, whether it's that or some cool license plate or something.
That's cool. That's awesome.
So where are you? You're sitting in one of the units right now, or is this the office while you're out there?
It kind of is. It's I call it like the man camp, because this is like the least organized space, because we just come out here and stay, and there's, you know, junk, and it's a little dirty because we just come out and we work and we stay here, and it's a 4x3 mobile home, and it's nice. I mean, it's got everything you need. It works. It's, you know, it's in decent condition, but it's just, when you got four guys coming out here and staying every other week, you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
It gets dirty from time to time.
That's cool. Well, cool, man. This has been fun. Tell us more about where people that are interested in seeing, maybe following the journey of you and the town, or just learning about the land space and kind of what you do. I know you get a lot of stuff out there. Where can they figure that out?
Yeah, just at John Jasniak on all social medias, or johnjasniak.com. If you go to johnjasniak.com/land, got a lot of free resources out there. Connect with me on either, you know, any social media or email. Shoot me, you know, if you got a land deal, if you got a question. I love looking at deals. I tell this to people every time. I'm kind of like addicted to looking at land deals. So if you have questions or deals you're looking at, would love to kind of do a quick run through and look over and give you any advice that you might need. But yeah.
That's cool. That's awesome. Well, cool. I think that kind of wraps it up.
Definitely keep it short. And that was that's super interesting. Are you selling education also, or is it just you're just giving away stuff?
I do. Yeah, I sell a course. I sell a mentorship. We got a private group and WhatsApp, and do weekly Zoom calls where I help people with all the big subdivided projects and
nice
how to find them, how to sell them, how to navigate all of them. But
that
sounds
cool.
We do all that stuff.
So if somebody's interested in getting into the subdivide game, I mean, do you recommend them getting any other education prior to coming to you? Or is it like, no, look, come here, we can start from ground, you know, square one, and we can get you up into the subdivide game, you know. Obviously, the harder they work, the more they'll get.
You can come to, there's probably 3 or 4 people in the space, including myself, who teach it. And yeah, you can come to me ground zero. I deal with a lot of people who come ground zero with never done a land deal, don't have even knowledge really about real estate, never started a business, and we help them get into the subdividing space. It's not going to happen overnight, because we're talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars or or even millions of dollars, but it is possible. There's been beginners who their first deal has been a $100,000-$200,000 land subdivision. So you got to get mentorship at that level, whether it's myself or someone else, because mm-hmm. you've never done a deal and you want to go out and spend 200 grand, but you can't afford to pay someone a few grand to help you. I mean, that's kind of backwards. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get yourself in a situation where you've done something that you can't recover from.
Yeah, very true. That makes sense. Very educate true. Yourself up front. So, mm-hmm. Well, good stuff, John. Man, it was good talking with you. We'll be following your journey. I'm sure everybody listening to this will be following your journey too, to see what's going on there. I'm gonna leave here and go watch more of the videos. So, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to come chat with us.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, man. Have fun cleaning up the kitchen or whatever it was that you're about to do, knocking down the kitchen.
All right, well, this has been Brett, Rick, and John for another episode of the Paper Stack Podcast. If you haven't subscribed, please do so. Follow us, like us, and we will catch you on the next episode.
See ya.
Bye.
Are you new to the mortgage note industry? Have you been wanting to learn the step-by-step process to purchase your first mortgage note? Well, you're in luck. We've convinced our CEO, Rick Allen, to break down everything he knows about mortgage note investing. Through a series of 50 videos, you'll get everything from start to finish of where to purchase notes, how to purchase notes, and all of Rick's investing techniques he has developed over the many years. From performing note tactics to non-performing notes, Rick gives you everything he knows about investing. Bonuses include our glossary of industry terms, Rick's own proprietary calculators he created to evaluate notes, discounts from our partners, our Rolodex of vendors, a private Facebook group, along with a lot more. We've packed so much content into the Academy to take you from beginner to expert in no time. To learn more about the Academy, go to academy.paperstack.com/welcome. Again, that is academy.paperstack.com/welcome.